Good evening. I haven't done this in a long time, so I don't know if I kind of get a bit confused. I hope you can put in those. This is called that.
Can you hear me? What else am I supposed to do? This is called Being a Five. A mighty crew of Irish gone B-men who, after fighting and being brave, went on to being the most unthinking idiots in our country. Their big nose, hunched shoulders, tiny teeth, hog ears, and lascivious lips look all around and around and around at the tiniest chance of making another million. Another million for me, even though I want to be a millionaire. I want another million for me. I don't care what I do, said he, the Fianna Fáil bumblebee. I'll drive a road through the hill of Tara for a few more bob in my back space. In my back place. In my back patch. In my back pack. TJ Mara is my king. Ray Buck, the boy. Fianna Fáil, Fianna Fáil. Have you got through the common of hell where men and women scratch each other's backs and their hands fall along the ground as they drag themselves along to their next meeting, where their planning permission says they can turn their garden shed into a house like in Tipperary North, or in North-East Donegal, where you can have a house built next to another house, built next to another house, built next to another house, built next to another house. And a huge sway of poxy houses, all in a row, great planning by the Fianna Fáil show. What a great day, millionaires all. But for fuck's sake, isn't it time to stop now? Seeing as every member of Fianna Fáil is a millionaire, carries it on and drags it around. But so what are we talking about? Isn't our lovely country full of frightened children as scared to fall out? The boys have created a million. As scared to throw out the boys who have no thinking, as scared to throw out the boys because the boys get them the bobs and the bobs get them happy. But they're not happy with their million. They want more! And they don't care whether you get up off the floor. They're not willing to build a box, a small box, for a homeless man or a homeless woman. They're not willing to let anybody have a go. They make sure insurance keeps you far below. Because they can't get in unless they've got an insurance company. But fuck them. Because we are going to win. At least we get more pleasure from our national treasure, our country. At least we get out the boat and see our friends. The sights, the lights, the crack, the people who like a laugh and a joke. And aren't always kicking about a few bob at the end, at the bottom of the pot. The pot, the pot that Fianna Fáil holds near. And straddle it as they sit hunkered down, poising in the air with their arses up high, and shell racing from behind, squealing with slip. And so for leader Bertie Ahern, ha ha ha, he's the boy. A warning, a warning to John Gormley and Aidan Ryan. Don't send us down the river like Ray Burke, Dorothy Ahern, Dick Roach, Dick Roach. There will come a day when you will be spat on the streets of this country. You will not be able to go except your cronies' houses. You will be disowned, for you're not Irish. You're just a bunch of money-grabbing leprechauns of the worst type. And I hope your kids tell you so someday. What's that called, bro? And it's a about the hypocritical attitude of everybody for. Well, that's okay then. It's all right if you smoke your joint, to have your coke, to take your ketamine, go to the doctor, get a load of headache, and make yourself better. But it isn't all right for the stupid guy in the corner who got caught. Caught smoking his joint, caught smoking his dream. And you and us, and me, and all of us typically stand by. It's them, it's not me. As I lift my reefer to my mouth, hoping gladly. Or is it really that we are so hypocritical, lying bastards, we can't admit that we like taking drugs? That we like taking drugs. As a nation, we love it. The whole country is on Valium because they can't get their hands on marijuana. Or they haven't heard of it. The rest of the country is on alcohol, the greatest headache of them all. And here we sit and spend our judgment on all the rest. The AA crew telling you what you should do. If you were addicted and it's getting you down, well, go into rehab. But not with cologne. It doesn't really matter the way you lift it up or tear it down. It doesn't really matter what way you sit or stand. So stop lying about the fact that you like a coke of the grand grass, or you like a snort of that coke, or you like a hit of that cake that makes you feel unbelievable. Or you love your ecstasy on a Saturday night and you go bop into the opera light. I tell you, it's better to be on an ecstasy cab on a Saturday night than the Cat Pat Kenny show. Or if you to call it the late day show, the Pat Kenny show. At different days, you have the young undercover cops snorting and smoking and having a ball as they set up boys who really want to be gangsters. Because they've coked it all and they want to be in a gang with guns and just die because they already know any better than that. And nobody really gives a shit. So carry on smoking, you audience there. You're the ones who have not got caught, who have not been sent to jail, and that, and your brothers and sisters, who they find it on the road into the arms of the hedge stringers, the freaks, the banana republic bathing heads. Just remember, there's a way for you someday, that day as you go out to get a 2 ounces for yourself and your friends. It gets a little bit bigger for you. You're okay because you're all stoned and you don't know that. Wouldn't it be better if you put up to a shop and say, hello my friend, I know what I like these days. I'm like $5 drugs, I know what I like. I like a bit of K in the morning, I like a bit of ecstasy late at night. And they get me to my boring crappy doll. I don't know what I mean, thank you.
The music smiles and slides through even hidden polka, like heaven's honey spilling over the court, noise of the thud. The musicians smile at me when I enter, carrying my fiddle. I first refuse their invitation to join, but they insist, and so I sit sheepishly, the fiddle on my lap. This is the musician's purgatory. I can see heaven dancing on the fingerboards of flutes and fiddles, and hear heaven weaving my tired soul together. This is how a soccer fan must feel, the mix of longing and love. Longing to play in love of the dance of music or sport. The music continues easy, effortless in its beauty, like an Irish conversation, it lilts, soaring and sliding, and I am on the cusp, the periphery, the threshold of this divine conversation. Until eventually I get the nod to start the tune, and I am playing. And it is so ordinary, but ordinary is divine. And I am part of the cure, and I am no more. Thanks very much. Before I was playing class, I was trained in classical music, and this poem is about that. It's about music by Bach, J. Bach, and This is solo music for the violin. This is actually beautiful stuff. So, this is unpleasant. The music soaks through my brain like beautiful summer rain. I'm sure there's nothing this way and that. The boss actually got my hat. His partitas invigor me still, and stillness echoes about the violin. And after the music ends, the silence is beautiful. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Alan. Next up in the white turn should we have a welcome for Mary O'Connell.
Hi everybody, this is one. It's called Shanti. It means peace in Sanskrit. This is T.S. Eliot's Finnish author, Great Planning by Shanti. And this is really about what happens if you're very, very lucky when you meditate. Shanti. Out in the channels, a heron settles, folding down its wings. In a sunlit room, a man, cross-legged, gathers silent lantern. Willow suffers fine, earthing, lightning thoughts. A shift felt along taut sinews, easing the breath to a new attunement. Blood and heart beat balance. Sounds recede, walls expand, white horizon sinks to emptiness. Breath suspended in diamond-cut silence. Outside, the heron lifts and soars.
I left my hopes and danced my way through the streets
that won its tender stride, and winked at the variety of unwritten plaque that hold you now. Unwittingly ordering a confluence of memories to entertain themselves. Later today I'll drive to Cork, and on my way I'll erect the cortege of finger posts to you and bless them with a lifetime of acceptance. Thanks. Second one is called No, with an exclamation mark. Or on Cork should be called No. And it's Celtic fantasy. When the pump retired, you were still busy as ever, igniting a thousand conversations, immediate, adjacent, and remote. Arrangements dizzied the arrangers, families wept and made commitments. You'll never guess, jump started a million sentences. Opinions adjusted themselves. Typists smiled, yours was going to be an easy one. Wardrobes and drawers were being emptied. Black and white photographs were being visited. Forgiveness was finding a home. Clubs began the cancellation and dug into the anticipated pros. Your silent whistle stopped 100 games. The sandwich makers and the cream cake bakers were busy and important. Dark suits were being cleaned and borrowed. White shirts were being bought and loaned. Unfashionable ties were being dusted down. Children were visiting a new topic. A respectful hand was etching the first letter. The first star was being turned. Jesus must be the light. Thanks. When Tamili read your report 2 weeks ago, when I came in, Patrick Galvin, Eddie Galvin's poet and playwright and singer and musician, was sitting in a wheelchair, and I didn't know he had a stroke, and it was so sad, but it was hugely enlightening, because he lost his voice and lost the use of his right side, and yet he was such a part of the night, and his wife sat on his left hand side, and when the poet had finished reading, he was just almost in a choreographed way leaning his left hand out and they applauded together. And I wrote this when I got home that night, and I called it Obeil, appropriately, and it's for Paddy Galvin. I anticipated a gaggle of local poets, and there he was, notably perched in the wheeled chair, adjacent to a platter soaked with blood. Did I see him stroke the underbelly of his unborn pony using his frozen oxter? A chamfer of his observations nursing its way to blank film? Did I hear his didactic tongue clatter away, sending memos to his waiting at your visa tip? Did I see Sully whisper verses of encouragement in his good ear? Did I reach out and touch the stone that enveloped you both in unisexual applause? Did I see you search for another half crown? I bet I did. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Thank you very much. Next, my turn. It says Brian Murphy, and it's a poem by Brian Murphy from Mark. We have Mark. Welcome to Mark.
I'm not a poet, but many years of great fortune and many more years. Great poet, I'm very much. Made him great old Daddy James, and he's a great man. And if anybody knows any publishing companies or owns any publishing companies, I would love to discuss them. Both Bunny and a few other lads about 10 years ago, and he didn't read the novel. It's called Fett and Goshawk. Fett waits in willow, its branches slowly meeting and dragging in the burning stream, with mist upon the eggs, feels like such a dream. Fett must forage, food for hungry lips, and keep his wings fast, though he considers weak.
stretching of his wings begins a fearful task. Goshawk is on high, she does not track herself. She soars upon the heavens, watching what she breaks, and shocking with her talons towards his screaming neck. The hawk upon the rock, mistress of the bird, feeds upon the woodcock, victim of her skill. Now all his mistress for broken set, she found another mistress, and she did certain death. He'll want no more for company, where he'll wander fresh, for he has friends plenty, dying upon the church. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Three ladies left on this. Anybody else want to take on? No? Yes? No? Maybe? Yeah, this one, okay. Anybody else? Any? No, you're on here. Okay. Next up is the microphone, you're welcome. Anita Daly.
Marvel at the power I have over you, the trust you, and no one else would. And it was an act not yet routine. You were shy with me for the first time. God, your hand was closed, for once it was the town. The boat was bobbing home now, and I'm the only crew. Swept away over mirrorless sky. We sang all these songs of peace, comfort for the other. In the gloom as we rode home. We had to be fit to surf the storm and to learn to be fitted for the next sea and new journey. I did not quite believe my dream, imagined for so long, for my closest friends had started to come true. We had to make trust in separate places as well as together. I actually wrote this about 20 years ago when I was up in the attic in my parents' old home, and I found it, and it's years and years ago. Chrysalis, it's called. For not only your mouth or your eyes, but your whole body smiles, and sprouts curly hair suits you. When your foot begins to paw the ground in calculus and joining, and your shoulders twist, the warmth of her smile, and to your limbs stretch quite of their own accord. Smile breaks your face into a thousand creases, and the scales above is transformed by chance into a thousand delicate buds. Then the smile of relief breaks my face too.
Through it all, I've never left my home. My brothers have been in my mind. My lesson has been your voice. He awakens in the morning, gathers around on an unsteady feet. As the day moves towards midday, he is more sure. He knows what he wants. He thinks he knows it all. Afternoon now, his innocence has faded. He has read the news. His eyes have been opened. In the evening, life is old. He rests. And come the night, he sleeps.
Next up, can we welcome Patricia Walsh.
Hello. Very nice. By way of explanation of the first poem, I used to work in that building, and on two separate occasions I was lucky enough to be working in California and Cargill Cross, which is just down the road from where Patrick Cameron grew up. So, here it is. Patrick Cameron's grave. I was trying my bike in the hardcore, the entrance of the mist. The meaningful sculpture sheets to breathe is Brian, Yvonne, and Geordie John. Letting a cigarette momentarily, I wait for the others to arrive, and count the days that take me away from the historical nose dive. I wrote the same sentence as Mr. Town, puffing away our reminisce until the morning and lap five. Subsequently, we were magic creatures, seeing ourselves as a whole. But 4 years on, we're still the same, and had a supervisor in our director today. But this is what Patrick Mind has in mind when the story got to heal in his third story. At the very year, at least, we won't be bored, as Matt has taken Charles Harper Brown back into meaning. Who can refuse that love of the quotidian increased resistance along the line of most resistance? This next one is called Relentless Resignation. I must not shoot, I must not kill, so there's a bird upon my windowsill. It will not fly, nor take a leave, nor grant a sound free for grief, nor hide its coat in many colours. Leave it in with a piece of bread and subsequently crush its head. I must not try to fool myself by whirling one to this bookshelf or any shelf. Love and laughter will find its own way shortly after. May not deal with songs of dollar. Shag and lay all around you, but not before it closes on you. Life passes away and so it seems that it is ways to chase and dream. But I object, my heart will rise, humming along with these melodies. And every song is a different colour. Shut down the duty to the nation and live the life of my nation. Thank you.
Next up, we have Mr. Ian Quillish. Very short, very sweet, and what I hope is sweet. Silver rush, river run, shimmer in the sun, glint of light, splinted glide in splendor, let it come.